Buddies with Mike and Andy. Mike Went, Andy Ferg, and of course the F is for food. Thank you to our sponsors, Patty Kelly's, 154 Washington Street in Peabody, at Patty Kelly's on Instagram. Monday and Wednesday nights, they do karaoke on the weekends, Friday through Sunday, noon to 3. They do a brunch, and every day they are open till 1 in the morning. Gary Girolamo Group, Cross Country Mortgage, at Buy and Refi on the gram, and crosscountrymortgage.com is the website. Chanomaka Brewing Kid, 95 Rantoul Street in Beverly, at Chanomaka Brewing on Instagram. Their hours are Wednesday through Friday, 3 to 10, Saturdays noon to 10, and Sundays noon to 6. You can find them online at chanomarkbrewing.com. Andy, what is the beverage of choice tonight?
I just chugged a Chanomaka flagship. It's gone. So next up will be Chanomaka Brewing Harbor Walk Haze Double IPA, Mike. It's delicious. I've had plenty. Not today, in general.
I'm trying a brand new double IPA tonight. We'll get to it in a second. Okay, and last but certainly not least, Ben Franklin Print Company, 177 North Main Street in Middleton, at Ben Franklin _ Print Co. on Instagram. BenFranklinPrintCo.com is the website, and if you mention F-Buddies, you get 10% off your next order.
That's the rumor.
So on my way home, I stopped for some provisions, some show prep. And I wanted to try something new and different, and this just caught my eye. I like the logo, the name. It's a Swamp Ape Double IPA out of Cape Canaveral, Florida. It's a 10%er. Have never tried it. Went clearly based off name and logo. First one, going to see how this goes. But, of course, as we always know, Mike drinking 10% beers during a podcast always ends well and not in lawsuits.
It depends if he ended up at happy hour today or not.
I did not.
Okay.
It's a very IPA. It's a very hoppy IPA. It's nothing. I wouldn't say it's anything special. It's a bit more on the bitter side than I'm used to. Probably a one and done for me on this one. I like a little bit more flavor in my beers.
Sure.
You know, like my usual Coors Light.
Yeah, the you like the Rocky Mountain Ales. Like, so here's.
But what the fuck? They took the time to write something. So let's see. What is a Swamp Ape? First-hand accounts describe an intense beast. Wow, could this be any fucking smaller? Or I'm just getting old and my eyesight's going. An intense beast with a potent aroma and bite. Yeah.
Just his ass.
You know what? You know what? I'm not reading the rest of it. It is fucking tiny. Look at all those little words.
Little words, Mike. Little words.
Little words. It's almost like they don't want us to read what their mythical swamp ape creature is. Unless the swamp ape's a real thing. I just haven't run into one here in Florida. Anyways.
Also, a 10% IPA is not a double IPA. It's an imperial, a triple IPA.
You can read it right here. It says
Florida people, they're idiots.
Swamp Ape Double IPA, and then, I don't know, you can't really see the 10%, but it is, again, very fine print. But, you know, whatever. Florida Beer Company. I'm sure somebody's going to tell me that there's some national chain and it's not really a local beer, but...
Oh, I know. Shut the fuck up. Who cares?
It's the pickings are very slim when I'm going to Publix looking for a 2-for-1.
These fucking people with their opinions.
Mm.
Every brewery's owned by some fucking special place. How the fuck would I know what InBev owns? I don't fucking Google what InBev owns or Heineken or fucking... They're owned by some conglomerate. Who gives a fuck?
How dare you? How dare you not research how independent your independent brewing is?
Apparently, they can barely hear me, Mike. I better stop yelling.
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, fuck it, then. They can listen fucking closer. Turn your volume up or shut up. Anyways,
how you doing, Andy?
I mean, I'm fine, I guess. I'm angry as usual about certain things. And
Seen any good memes lately?
Quite a few good memes lately. Seen a lot of opinions as well.
So every year, I'm a movie guy, you're a movie guy, but like every year, like I sit down and I watch the Oscars, and year after year goes by, and I expect less and less out of it. You know what I mean? It used to be a fun show, and it used to have stuff like, you know, Jack Nicholson sitting in the front row, and you know, fucking Billy Crystal being the host was wonderful for a while, and you know, Chris Rock hosted once. What has he done lately? And this year, I'm like, I sat down, I'm like, ah, you know what? It's just going to be another show. You know, last year they did the Zoom fucking Oscars, and it was a little weird. And this year, I didn't expect too much. I definitely didn't expect beloved television and film icon, I guess rap as well, hip hop. The Prince of Bel-Air to bitch slap one of the most legendary comics of all time over a joke.
That was unexpected for sure.
So I know you have opinions. I'm going to break down how I perceived it watching it live. Chris Rock made the joke, the G.I. Jane joke about Jada Pinkett Smith. Myself, along with most of the people in the theater, including Will Smith, laughed at the joke. And then they cut back to Chris Rock as he was going to present Best Documentary. And he paused, and you see Will Smith come into frame, marching into frame, and he, in the most stage-directed, bad-acting form, a full body twist and a slap, and Chris Rock sold the shit. Like, he kind of did the whole head whip back thing. Will Smith turned around and, like, fucking George Jefferson did the walk back out, down the ramp, like fucking Vince McMahon coming to cause some shit. Shoulders and all. And Chris kind of laughed, and the audio went dead for a solid, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds. And then they come back, and there was a weird video cut, but I noticed weird shit like that. And they come back, and Chris presented Best Documentary. So I did what everybody did. We went to Twitter. What happened, Twitter? Where are my Australian friends who don't have to deal with censorship? Let's see what actually happened. Because I assumed it was a bit.
Yeah, of course.
Because from the U.S. broadcast, cutting the audio made it look like it was all part of the bit. It looked like a stage slap.
Yeah.
Chris didn't sell it. Like, he was like fucking, you know, Hogan kicking out at two. He didn't sell shit. And they just kind of went on with it. The show went on. Nobody seemed concerned. Okay. It wasn't until I watched the actual unedited version where they didn't cut out the audio. And as Will was George Jefferson his ass down the ramp, he yells, "Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth." And you hear, and it was more Chris Rock, his response of, "Dude," as if like, "Dude, did you actually just get up and slap me?" And he says it over a G.I. Jane joke.
Yep.
And then Will repeats louder, this time on camera, "Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth." And Chris is like, "I will," and moved on with the show. That made it feel a lot more real. The audio matched with the look in Will's eyes, matched with Chris's response, made it feel more real. Now, can I 100% say this wasn't a setup? Can I 100% say this wasn't a work? No, I can't. But I'm leaning on the side of this was pretty fucking legit. And this, in my opinion, is Will Smith is damaged as fuck.
Yes, he's done. Done.
Okay. And I don't mean like this is going to ruin his career. I don't think it really will. He might not be invited to many award shows in the next 5 years, but I don't think it's going to really damage his career so much. But like, this was like, this to me, this was less about the G.I. Jane joke because he laughed at it. Clearly, this was like when they cut back to Chris, because again, we've watched this like the fucking Zapruder film.
Sure have.
You watch it, Will's laughing, Jada's not. And they cut to Chris, you know damn well that was one of those things. Will was laughing, looking at the stage, turns, gets daggers from his wife, and is like, oh, I'm going to have to hear about this all night. Fuck it, I'm up. I'm going to get him. And he just reacted. And it feels like this was years of people like you and me calling him a cuck because he is.
Major cuck.
So this was just, it was basically, it felt very much like the mental straw that broke the camel's back. Like, he didn't want to have to hear shit from her the rest of the night, especially because at the time he was still the front runner and ended up winning the Academy Award for Best Actor, which the Williams sister movie was good. It was decent. He was good in it, but it was a decent movie. And we'll get to that in a second, because that, even that was a fiasco on a few levels.
That's deep.
The speech, but also, like, I felt so bad. And again, this is me coming from a technical side of things. I felt so bad for the technical directors and the producers in the booth and the guys on the buttons. Like, they must have, all I could think of was Lloyd Bridges in Airplane being like, well, picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. And it was just like, because everything that could go wrong in that 45-minute stretch went wrong. Will Smith smacks one of the presenters on stage, and nobody seems to do anything about it. Then he wins. He starts crying and almost pseudo-defending what he did on stage. Then he starts apologizing and crying and spitting to the point that they cut away from him. And first they cut to the Williams sisters, but one of them has a goddamn nip slip on live TV, and they have to throw the Oscar logo up. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong, thanks to Will Smith and this goddamn movie and everything about it. It seems like one of those situations that Will needs, like, Jazzy Jeff to come over and be like, dude, let's pack a bag and get you the fuck out of here. You're not in a good place. It feels very... He feels like he's in a bad... It feels to me, and it's one of those things that kind of relates a little bit. It feels like a guy that just needs to get the fuck out. Will, come to Florida, pal. There's plenty of condos down here. You can relax alone.
What was the joke? It wasn't the joke that set him off that night. There's an old joke that Chris Rock told previously about Jada.
Oh, please do tell.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what the fuck it was. I had it. I lost it.
I don't know. Now, granted, a lot of, you know, Twitter was very quick, and everybody in the comments section is very quick to say that there's certain things you can't joke about. Now, first of all, I come from a completely different mindset. One of, if not the greatest comic of all time, late great Patrice O'Neill. If you haven't seen his Fox News clip where he describes the angry pirate live on the news, go watch it. Go watch it, because Patrice even said there's things, because a woman on the panel was like, well, you can't joke about rape. And he's like, I don't know, I've heard some good jokes.
Well,
if it's funny, you can. And now everybody's saying that you can't joke about, because I guess the fact that she's bald is because of alopecia. Here's the thing. I can personally say I didn't know that until Twitter told me that Sunday night. I don't follow Jada Pinkett on any social media. I don't particularly watch any of her interviews. I can't say I've ever seeked out a Jada Pinkett interview or quote or anything like that. I didn't know anything about it. The most I knew was because of the clips and the memes of Will crying when she said she fucked that rapper. That's most I've known about her in the last, I don't know, dozen or so years. What I do know is since the 80s, Jada has had a very short crop against the skull hairstyle.
Yeah, she sure has.
And I have seen her at award shows with Will with the either the shaved head or the bald head, and I thought, I didn't think anything of it because it's like that's kind of been her look her whole career. Now, I don't know how long she's had alopecia, but that's been her look.
Of balding people. It's not like she has fucking AIDS.
Here's the thing. We really can't say shit about making fun of bald people. I mean, that's kind of been what we do.
It could be called Scott a teacher at this point. I mean, are you kidding me? So all of a sudden, a comedian tells a fucking benign joke.
A throwaway joke.
A fucking shitty G.I. Jane joke. A fucking 90s movie reference with Demi Moore.
He literally said, dude, it's a G.I. Jane joke.
And then if you think about it, she shaves her head to... Jada Pinkett Smith hasn't lost her hair yet. She's going to. She shaves her head to prepare for it. Like it's a fucking role in a movie. I have people in my life with alopecia. One of my wife's cousins has alopecia. Fun fact, he's growing his hair back. They've kind of cured it. Take the fucking medicine, Jada. He's got hair now. He didn't used to have hair. Now he does. He's growing eyebrows. It's Jeff Ross. Great comedian Jeff Ross has alopecia. Yep. He addressed it.
Yep.
He said, people make big jokes about it. It's life. It's a fucking funny thing. I'm fat. I get made fun of every day.
He was the one, when I saw his comment, he was the one that clicked back and made me think of Patrice and the, you know, I've heard some funny rape jokes. Because it's like, yes, you can make fun of anything if it's funny. And that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I can never say unless at some point I talk to Chris Rock and ask him straight out. But I don't think if I ever talk to Chris Rock, I'm going to ask him, hey, man, did you know Jada had alopecia? I don't think that's going to be the topic of conversation. But I'm on the side of he might not have known.
I don't give a fuck.
And for me, it was the tone of the way he did the throwaway G.I. Jane joke. It wasn't like he was being vicious or like, oh, I'm going to fucking nail her. Like, he was coming out and he was just kind of riffing for a few seconds and he saw Will and Jada having a good time. He's like, I love you guys. Can't wait for G.I. Jane. Because he probably thought the same thing I thought. Oh, she's going with a look.
Yeah.
He probably didn't, like, I didn't know until Twitter told me. I bet he didn't know until he went backstage. So I was like, oh, by the way, he slapped you because you got alopecia. He's like,
No, that's not why he slapped her, Mike. There's more to the story.
And now that you say this, it's probably not. So please.
Well, I don't know the joke. I can't remember the fucking joke. Someone tell us the joke. The joke that originally was a couple of years ago, Chris Rock told a joke about Jada and Will. I can't fucking remember it right now. And it pisses me off. But also,
now, do you know the context of it? Did it have to do with the rapper fucking her? Or was something like that?
It's mild too. If my fucking laptop would turn on, Mike, I'd answer the fucking question.
Was it like at an award show or?
Mike, you think I know? Yes, yeah, something like that. Sure.
Talking. I'm trying to talk until you get your shit together, man.
Oh, nothing works. Here's the other thing, though. Another wrinkle to the story, Mike. Besides the fact that comedians can now get slapped for shitty jokes, which is a huge precedent that pisses me off, and let me tell you why. I'm not a black man. I'm not a black woman. I don't have alopecia. I'm not a comedian.
Nope.
I do say funny things sometimes. And those funny things are generally insulting toward people. I'm an insulter. That's how I grew up. A ball buster, Mike, if you will. It's my personality. If I see it, I say it. Now, am I expected to get slapped every time I make a fucking joke? Because that's not going to happen. Because I'm going to swing back.
Right.
Like Shannon Sharpe said, Shannon Sharpe had a great line. He said...
Yep.
He would fight back at the moment and every time he saw him for the rest of perpetuity. Because you can't slap him.
Well, that's the other thing. One of the main through lines of people's opinions is it was who made the joke. Now, there's a few ways to look at it. Of course, if Rock the Dwayne Johnson made the joke, I don't see Will getting up and going and slapping Rock. I don't see that happening. Also, I think it would have been a bit more on the playful side because I don't see Rock taking an actual slap and being punked out by Will Smith. I just don't see it happening. Two, what if Amy Schumer made the joke? Or what if Wanda Sykes made the jokes? Because they were hosting and they were kind of riffing on people throughout the show.
Is I'm glad it was another black person, because then it's not racist, first of all.
No, absolutely not. Right.
Because I read some things that it was racist, and that's the dumbest fucking take I could ever imagine. It was racist, was it? And this is the reason.
I would like to see those dots connected, please.
A black woman's hair is tied to her existence. Or making fun of her hair. And the fact that just the fucking, the wokeness of certain people on the internet. Three people I've seen in the world defend this. This idiot on my Facebook feed, this moron with her dumb opinion.
Yeah.
Tiffany Haddish, who's a fucking moron to the nth degree, and that is the big group, Mo. That's the three. And he just thinks people are being pussies. But to actually think a black man insulting a black woman and her husband defending her is a racist act, my fucking head will explode. I can't even consider making that make sense to me.
This had nothing to do with race. This was 100% marital issues.
Yes. Will Smith can't hit Jada. He wants to. Who doesn't? If you catch your wife fucking everybody.
Not just catch. She sat at the table and told him.
With him on the fucking thing. She embarrassed the poor guy. Tell me in private, you're a whore.
And you embarrassed Mike Lowry.
Exactly.
Mike Lowry.
One wrinkle, though, that we haven't talked about yet, and I learned this today. The Scientology angle to this.
Yep.
Apparently, if you're a Scientologist and someone disrespects you like that, embarrasses you, you are required to slap them. It's in the fucking religion. You have to slap them. If you
what don't. What is this, fucking the 1400s? I'm going to challenge you to a duel. Ka-chow!
Don't slap them. A higher ranking Scientologist can slap you.
I'm gonna say I don't know. I'm gonna call bullshit on that because for how many years up until he took it the wig off did John Travolta get made fun of for his hair? I didn't see John Travolta slapping people.
He was getting slapped by Tom Cruise, but he just didn't see it.
There you go. They were taking it into the closet and slapping each other. Gotcha.
Yeah, with their penises. Just a quick mushroom stamp on the forehead. See you later. I don't want to live in a world where your jokes can be. I get it. If I'm in a bar, and I walk up to someone and call their wife a cunt, I expect to have to have some consequences. I'm in a fight. But if
we have said things on this show that probably should have received more of a reaction than a 9 a.m. voicemail.
Yes, very.
I said things about your wife and you left a voicemail.
If one of those people was a Scientologist, I'd expect to get slapped.
I would expect a flight down, knock at the door, slap, and walk away.
But like, if you're sitting front row at an award show, and there's a stand-up comedian on stage whose job it is to entertain you, and he throws a fucking half-assed wiffle joke at you, we're going to start hitting people for that? Ricky Gervais should be murdered by now for the shit.
He literally called all of Hollywood pedophiles.
Yes.
I'm not going to sit here and defend Mel Gibson, but he's been dogging Mel Gibson every award show to his face.
Yeah.
To his face. What it is it sends, because like you said, it's Chris is a stand-up. In a sense, even though this isn't, it's not a comedy show, it's an award show, but it's in the same vein of a stand-up show where the comic is on stage, you are in the audience. For lack of a better term, Will Smith just set a precedent for hecklers. Because how many comedy shows have you been to where the comic starts doing crowd work? I know I've been to quite a few. I've been targeted by quite a few. It's hilarious when it happens. But now, apparently, if one cuts too deep or I'm having a sensitive night, I can get up on stage and slap him and walk away.
Only if he's 100 pounds lighter than you. Tiny.
Oh, so I can't do Bob Kelly. All right.
Yeah, Bobby's off.
Fuck! I was going to Tampa next month to see Bobby. I want to catch him on stage.
He's not catching anybody. I guarantee it. Bobby is not fleet of foot.
No.
So, fun fact about laptops: in order to charge them, you got to plug the thing in all the way. So.
Fun how that works.
That's where we're at right now.
Jesus, you're like my customers. Oh my god.
I'm not good at things.
How do you do it there?
Google. I'm going to Google this right now.
The Chris Rock Jada joke, yeah. I did like, I mean, some of the memes have been very good. I've been enjoying, and here's the thing. There's always that select few people that get annoyed with this type of meme action way too fucking early. It's like there were guys an hour into it, be like, enough of the Will and Chris thing. It's like, hey, guy, if you're not having fun, step the fuck aside.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Everyone else is having fun. We're now 2 days removed. We're still having fun with this. If you don't like it, scroll on by. Nobody needs you to. Again, it's kind of like the guy who's going to leave the group and announces, I'm done with this bullshit. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, pal. Bye-bye. We didn't need the invitation to your exit party. This is not a fucking job. You don't do exit interviews. I'm stalling. Is your laptop up yet?
It's working. Yeah, keep talking.
All right, fantastic. What else were we going to talk about? Fuck, because I just petered out. I was talking way too fucking fast.
It's just every comedian, like Jim Norton. I want to start hearing from Jim Norton, Bill Burr. I want to hear from all these people.
Well, Jimmy was fantastic. Well, him and Sam were back in the studio yesterday morning, right. And they started with a picture of Jim slapping Sam. Good morning. I mean, Jim or Sam's Instagram go-to, Jim Jeffries' Instagram, go read that. Michael Che, I know I sent you that one, skewered the shit out of him. It's bullshit because it's like, here's the thing. The thing that I couldn't wrap my head around was nothing happened. They just went on, and the Academy has come out since then and said that they were trying to scramble, but the members were all over the place. Look, if I am a higher up in the Academy, and anyone, not just one of the fucking nominated actors, but anyone gets up and slaps a presenter and it's not on that goddamn teleprompter, I'm getting my ass up and figuring out what the fuck just happened. I'm not going to sit in my seat and be like, right. Applause break over? Okay, good. I can stop. It's like, figure your shit out. Like, they didn't even, like, I applaud Chris for not, like, because there was a moment in the unedited audio, you can hear because the second time Will says, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth, Chris goes, all right, I will, and he kind of leans and goes, I could, and you knew it was leaning into that Chris Rock, I'm a fucking comic and I'm going to destroy you, but I have a career. I'm kind of becoming a movie guy now. I just did the Saw thing. I don't want to fuck my world up because he's a goddamn idiot. So I'm going to just be professional and give out this documentary award because Chris Rock is obviously giving out a documentary award because that's a fucking thing. He wasn't even supposed to be there today.
Questlove got fucked. He won the award. No one talks about it.
Nobody knew. He fucking cried. It was a whole thing. Nobody fucking remembers the award.
Hold on, here's the joke. I have the joke. We're ready.
When was it from? Set it up.
2016.
Before we knew he was a cuck.
6 years ago, Jada Pinkett Smith was boycotting the Oscars. She announced it. And Chris Rock said, how do you boycott something you weren't invited to? That's like me boycotting Rihanna underwear. That's it. That's the fucking joke.
That's a quality soft joke. It's sure. A quality soft joke. And you think he slapped her for that?
No, he slapped her. He slapped him because he hates his life. And he wants to bang his wife again someday. And would prefer her not getting dogged out by fucking rappers that are her son's age. So maybe she sucked him off that night. Maybe.
Maybe. That was the weird. That was the weirdest thing, and that's what made me honestly. I wouldn't say feel bad, but if I was Will's friends, feel concerned for Will. He was all over the. If you watch the timeline of that night, he's a mess.
Yeah.
So they start the night on the red carpet, and they fucking Instagram a picture of the two of them. Wearing, literally saying, we chose chaos tonight or some shit, which everybody's reading into, but whatever. They were just dressed up and they were having a party. They didn't know they were going to slap somebody tonight. So let's not read too far into everything. And then we get into that he slaps Chris Rock. Then we fast forward. He wins the Best Actor Award, which as an actor, that's a huge fucking deal. Like that, especially for a Will Smith actor. Like, it's not like it's Anthony fucking Hopkins who, okay, if Anthony Hopkins wins an Academy Award, you goddamn expect it. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is an Academy Award winning actor now. That's a huge fucking deal. It's a huge fucking deal. I can't take anything away from him. So we have that. And he has a meltdown during his acceptance speech. He's spitting. The Williams sisters are pulling the titties out. It's fucking wild. Then fast forward to the after party. And he's dancing to fucking Get Jiggy With It with his Oscar in his hand as if nothing happened.
He should have been.
It's one of the most bizarre, like, glimpses into mental health that I have ever seen is Will Smith's night at the Oscars.
Well, do you think he's human? I don't think he's human. He has an.
I don't believe anybody that's in Scientology is human. I believe there's people who escape, like Leah Remini, who fucking escaped from Scientology. But if you're in it, it's kind of like the Matrix. They got you plugged in somewhere, and it's just an avatar doing the work.
I don't get him. He's one of those freak shows like J-Lo that looks the exact same they did 35 years ago. I watched J-Lo on In Living Color. She still looked like J-Lo. She looks the exact fucking same.
She looks better.
Yes. Jim Carrey's
1 year old. She looks better than she did at 20.
Will Smith's not aging. It's bullshit. And something needs to be done about it.
And somebody get me Paul Rudd right now, because what the fuck is in that guy's soup?
Paul Rudd's aging well. Good for him. He's aging a little bit, though. But he is. He's got to be 70.
Yeah.
He was an adult in Clueless.
He was 20 in Clueless. That was 30 years ago.
He wasn't 20. He was doing fucking accounting. He was the accountant. He was out of college, I think. He's going to start a plant lamp store. And fucking not the Roxbury, a lot of things were going on with Mr.
Hartley. So I think the moral of the opening to this episode of our food show is don't slap comedians and team Chris Rock.
Yeah. Or okay. If I offend you, I'm giving you the invitation to try to slap me.
Well, I mean, that's the difference. I mean, again, if you offend somebody, it's probably in a bar setting. You're not on a stage in a tuxedo. Maybe you should start wearing tuxedos with Patty Kelly's. That'd be a fun little gimmick. Just get a tuxedo, wear it out. Don't acknowledge it. Just make it your thing. It's too hot down.
Will Smith was doing it. Was West Philadelphia born and raised, clearly. Because if it was fucking South Peabody born and raised, he'd take a fucking joke.
Yeah.
He'd accept the fucking joke.
And that's the thing. Take a fuck, like, have a fucking sense of humor. Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't even want to speculate, but she went fucking, her eyes were rolling so hard she pulled a muscle when he said that joke. It's like, and Will was laughing.
Yes, of course.
He found it funny until his wife didn't. And anyone that's been married knows that look. And that's why I'm not.
I've received that look many times. Yet that, I have to know.
You're laughing. You're having a good time. And you glance over to see if your partner is sharing in the fucking fun. And she's just drilling you with her eyes, being like, that's not funny. That's someone's daughter.
The only thing
I didn't put the bill in her.
The only thing with this I can relate to. And I was at a concert one time, and I'm 6'2". So yeah. Walked in front of me, I could still see. My wife is 5'4". She couldn't anymore. They said, excuse me, to walk by us and stopped. blocking her view. I got the look from her, and I went kamikaze mode and started yelling because they wouldn't move. There were three of them. If I was in that group, I'd be tied for the smallest. I couldn't win that fight. Open hand slap would only escalate the situation. So I just started going ballistic. I told one of the guys.
Especially a dramatic actor's open hand twist slap.
What I said was, I'm going to beat you with him. And pointed to the biggest guy. I go, I'll grab him by the feet and swing him around until he fucking hits you. Fuck off. And it worked. They left.
I'll hit you so hard he dies.
Yeah. You have to defend your woman. But if your woman shaves her fucking head and sits in the front row and your friendly comedian sits up there, fuck off.
And makes a 30-year fucking joke.
Yeah. It's just, it's fucking Chris Rock. What do you expect? The guy's a fucking comedian.
I had an ex, not my ex-wife, an ex years and years ago. She was the one, like, she was the one that really kind of put this situation relatable. I had taken her and her two kids to a SmackDown show at the Garden, and we're leaving, and we're at the subway going back to Oak Grove, and guys yelling, swearing, fucking guys being guys after a wrestling show. She, mother of the year, didn't like her kids hearing the cursing and said, are you going to do something about this? And I go, they're fucking in a subway station. What do you want me to do here? Guys, could you keep the language down? She's like, you need to fucking do something. And I caught it. I caught it in my head. It's like, she wants me to get into a fight.
Yeah.
In front of her children.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's five of them.
I have an extremely...
And they're hammer drunk.
Yeah, listen, I have almost the exact same story, except for my wife didn't do it. I'm at Champions Pub one afternoon, Sunday afternoon, sitting at the bar, enjoying some beverages, some food, probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun is out. Couple guys to my right, four of them, pretty drunk, all very, very big, football coaches from Medford, I believe.
Metha.
And they're swearing. And the old guy sitting to my left, who was a staple at that bar at the time, sat there every day, had his own seat, and ate behind the bar, fucking drunk. He said to me, Andy, you know, my wife is in the bathroom. If I was here with my wife, I'd say something. My wife swears more than I do. She doesn't give a fuck. But he cared, because old fucking Bo needed to have his Sundays be fucking pure as the driven snow. So I said, you know.
Well, he goes to the bar and pickles himself. Yes. Gotcha.
He wanted me to say something. I'm going to say something for him. Nice guy. Last time I did something nice for him, I leaned over. Hey, guys, you know, Sunday afternoon, not Friday at midnight. Why don't you tone it down a little bit? Just relax. Stop screaming the F-bombs. How's that sound? Didn't go over so well, Mike. Now they're fucking shooting daggers and making loud comments about fucking me up. It's me, my wife, and old fuck who got me in this trouble. That's it. And now the other folks at the bar are doing the Homer Simpson. Dying. I know the names of those fucks, too, who didn't step up. Like, here I am. I'm about to fight.
You stood up for some fucking old alky and not even your wife.
All they had to do was be near me. I had 6-7 people in the bar I knew. There was only 4 of them. They all fucking faded in the bushes. So here I am, hearing the chirping, seeing them point at me. They're 6 feet away talking about me. I go to the bathroom. One of them comes to the bathroom door and waits. Not one man. I don't know this. I'm in there. I have a sneaky feeling I'm about to get into a fight. Not one man that's my friend at the time defends me. Like he's in line for the bathroom, yet he wants to fight me. You know who does? My psycho wife, 5'4", 120 pounds, gets in his face that's screaming at him. Go back to your fucking seat, you piece of shit. Fuck you. I got out of the bathroom, and then I'm like this. I'm have one talk, and she's screaming. Huh? Problem solved. Time to go. But that's the thing, is certain people get you into a fucking fight. I would have been by far the smallest one in that group.
Here's the moral of that story, and I've texted you this. I think I've commented on some of your videos and stuff. Your wife's a fucking saint.
Yes. Yes.
Like, there's a reason you're married to her. Your wife's fucking awesome, by the way.
100%. She's the greatest.
None and that's just another example that a whole bar of dudes weren't going to stand up for you, so your 5 foot nothing wife fucking does.
Yeah, she called them pussies. While we're walking on, she's all fucking pussies. Point her at them. Like, yeah, she's right.
Good.
I feel good. A little emasculated. A little bit. But
a little bit.
I was about to get the fucking shit beat out of me by.
But you have all your teeth.
Yeah. And I would have got some shots in.
Sure.
I mean, I would have gone low. I'm not a fair fighter. My Uncle Scott taught me one thing when I was a boy. You don't fight to win. You fight not to lose. If you think about that, you don't.
Look, if you're getting in a fight with five dudes in a bar, you're going for the nuts for at least three of them.
At least one fucking swing of the old stool.
Yep.
I saw a guy once at Bennigan's. This is a little sidebar. Good friend of mine, actually. He was in a fight at Bennigan's and went to pick up one of those stools that weighed 800 pounds. Those fucking.
Oh, my God. They were gross. They were so fucking big.
He went to pick one of those up, but he underestimated how heavy it was, and he swung and didn't hit the guy he wanted to hit. Hit his best friend on the back of the head and gave him brain damage.
Holy shit!
Hey, that man can't spell certain words.
Oh my God!
His best friend was muckled and ruined.
Just, that's not our friend with the dumpster fucker, huh?
No, we had plenty of brain dead people at Bennigan's.
We have too many brain dead people in common.
In fact, there was more brain dead folks at Bennigan's than weren't.
Hmm.
Did that jukebox trick every night, no one figured it out. Where you could just push the button underneath and skip the song. No one ever figured out the trick. Oh, the songs aren't playing. But I.
God damn it. They all got the big scar across the skull.
A lot of scars at Bennigan's. Cheap beers, bad food, fucking head scars.
Bennigan's. A lot of head scars. Anyways, so have we exhausted the news of the week?
Yeah, I think so.
Alright, cool. No,
actually, Mike, is fucking Beef Madness.
That's what I was going to say. Beef Madness. So we're rolling into the Final Four, am I not?
Final Four.
And woo!
In controversy.
Final Four! Wheeling and dealing! Kiss stealing! Woo! Final Four!
And I think we did a pretty good job this year of getting the correct four. Other folks don't believe that.
There's a lot of people that don't believe that.
That's up to them. I don't give a fuck. You got to pick regions. We got one in Ipswich.
You know what? That is the nice thing about these opinion-based contests because they're like assholes.
Yes.
Everyone has one, and they all stink.
It's incredible, and this is the thing. What folks aren't understanding.
You're all shit.
Who thinks I'm doing with this Beef Madness tournament? Three, if you want to count. Giving a great Beef Spot recognition and giving them all attention. But that's the third, that's the least of my fucking cares. One, controversy, content. I love it. Tell me I suck. I will respond. Two, increased membership and followers. I'm peeling back the curtain. That's what I like.
Bella's is doing very well this turn.
Well, here's the thing about certain beef shops. I will not name names.
I will.
But I know for a fact people are being texted and invited to groups and encouraged to vote a certain way. I'm not doing the texting. Yeah.
I'm already in the group. I still got a message. Hey, man. Here's the thing. I'm happy he sent me the text because I didn't know that round had started yet. So I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, cool. And like, done. Moving on.
Well, your boy Danny Snyder just reminded me of something. We are doing, people can vote twice for the Final Four. We are doing Instagram and Facebook for the Final Four. Ooh. I finally figured out how to count votes on Instagram. My kid taught me this morning.
Really?
I could get percentages.
It tells you exact.
No, you have to hit one more thing and scroll up. I don't know how to do
that. Yeah, I know this. I know this.
I learned today!
Oh, my God.
Mike, I'm just trying to figure out.
Here's the thing. Don't embarrass yourself in front of your kid. Ask your friend.
Mike, I have like 15,000 Instagram followers if you count everything. And
move, Dad. Let me do it.
I have no idea what I'm doing, and I have all these fucking eyes paying attention. And I'm like this.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do it? I got this.
You are literally the Shawn Michaels fucking gif where he's sitting there at the computer being like, eh.
But yes,
and that was just for the video audience.
Tessie's lost to Bella's, which really ruffled some feathers. What are you going to do?
Bella's came out hard, man. Bella's was going hard. They still are.
I got a funny little thing, though, about that.
Also, wasn't Tessie's kind of glamour beef anyway?
They were for a while. Apparently, they've solved that problem. But Tessie's is like driving to St. Louis.
But they do add salt?
Huh? Yeah, they found
salt.
But
they do add salt?
I think so, yes. Back when I was a kid, I had salt to beef. I didn't realize cheese is salty. Good enough. But if you put a stack of meat,
they're in Tewksbury, right?
Fucking Tewksbury, the Lowell line. What the fuck's going on there? I went to Lawrence once for some fucking radio show. Gave the shirt to the wrong guy. That's beside the point.
Sorry, pal.
We have in the final four is Bella's, Modern Butcher, Jamie's, Zeno's. Now, Bella's is controversial because there's a lot of Tessie's dick riders out there. Got it.
Yep.
Jamie's is controversial because some people love Jamie's and other folks hate them.
And Jamie's pays all of you fuckers to comment. I know they do. They make beefs after you. They invite you and Dan Bob and fucking Calvin. And Matt's got you all on the payroll. And he's still charging you $80 for sweatpants.
Yes, he also... I was in there Sunday morning and I paid $30 for my breakfast.
Dude, that fucking breakfast looks ridiculous.
He's a fucking chef. Yes, he's
fucking beef Benny looks ridiculous.
That's what I love about this whole thing. So you have them controversy because I'm on the payroll and, you know, Matt's got funny hair and whatever. And people don't.
Yeah.
Then you have Modern Butcher. Lisa and Warren do it once a week. Are they a real beef shop? I don't know. People vote for them. They're in the final four.
I liked, I saw on Lisa's Instagram today or yesterday. So someone was pissing and moaning in one of the comments about how they're too gourmet and they're overrated and the line's too long and blah, 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 blah. I love to respond to being like, was it the James River or the mayonnaise or the American cheese that made it too gourmet? I just need to know.
What, the old Yogi Berra joke was, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
Yeah.
Nobody goes there.
Nobody goes there anymore.
So, again, another controversial spot. And then you have...
I got A30 Res at Dorsia. Oh, nobody goes there anymore.
But then you have the other controversy, which is Zeno's, which rates top five, top six, top at all times. But it's in...
Who were they against? Because I voted against them only because I knew they were going to win.
I saw you vote.
I know it was on the fucking screenshot, but I like to sometimes do that. I like to tip the scale a little bit.
Well, you know what the thing is though? Not a lot of people get to Ipswich. It's also not sued.
Who were they against?
They were against Athens.
Okay, that makes sense. So I like
it. They don't sous vide their beef. They don't trim the brown shit off. Some of their beefs are ugly. They're not photogenic because they have little brown spots. Like a normal
They also let Dan Bob get naked and fucking smear his asshole all over the place.
Listen, he had a Speedo on.
Allegedly.
I saw the behind the scenes, and I saw behind the scenes he had a Speedo
on. 10%.
So the final four is set. It's going to be fucking awesome. I can't fucking wait. I think it's Bella's versus Zeno's and Modern. Nope. It's Bella's versus Modern. And Zeno's versus Jamie's, I believe.
So we're going to have another Jamie's Modern.
Are we?
Unless Bella's really pulls her shit together.
Here's the thing. The addition of Instagram is going to really fuck things up. Because Matt's got the Facebook group wrapped around his little dick. They are all just fucking taking turns.
I mean, look, here's the thing. I think it's a consensus that nobody's questioning Modern's in the finals.
Telling you, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked.
I would be, actually. I would be. So you got the pulse on the Instagram. Who's got the following then out of these four? I mean, obviously, obviously modern. So let's take them out. Out of the three that hasn't made a career as an influencer, who has a following?
Jammies has a great following. They have, I don't know, 8,000.
Okay, so we can, so like I said, we can expect the Jammies in a modern.
I mean, here's my question: do you think by opening up the voting to all these places on Instagram, where they have to go to my story vote, do you think that'll benefit me at all? Just wondering.
Benefit you, yes. I think it will benefit you a little bit. I don't see it swaying the votes too much.
I do.
I don't think too much. I think the Instagram votes will definitely, like I said, go to Modern and Jamie's almost unanimously. Because I don't even know, Zeno's have an Instagram?
Yep, they do.
Okay.
Very unbothered.
I know. But Bella's, I know, started one, but it was very recent.
It's like 2 months ago. Yeah, it's very recently.
Yeah. So they're going to work the Facebook group as hard as they can. But I don't know. And wasn't it the same last year? Wasn't it Jamie's and Modern?
Yeah. Okay. No. Jamie's and Athens last year.
Was it? Okay.
The first.
You're right.
They lost last year, and they just lost in the Elite Eight this year. They actually have probably the best career in the Beef Madness. Hell of a career for them. I honestly don't care. If this is the thing about me. I don't give a fuck who wins.
So here's the thing.
Gladly.
I know you don't. Proudly. I know you don't. Do you, like, do anything for the winner? Like, do you even print out a fucking thing for them to frame?
I was going to last year, but I'm not buying it.
No, but like, I mean, you can print it on a fucking printer and give it to it and say, hey, put this in a frame. Or
we were supposed to do something last year, but didn't happen. I mean, COVID fucked me last year. I'll do something this year, though. We're back. We're fully back. Facebook page functional, group functional, Instagram popping, everything going right now.
You just need to stop talking about transmission problems.
Five speed's a five speed, man.
Well, if you want to get through this goddamn tournament, shut the fuck up.
So, Beef Madness is hitting hard. The beef groups, actually, here's the thing. I've been zucked for 30 days until yesterday. And being zucked is like, for me, having my balls chopped off. I don't feel like me. When Andy comments and does something, there's a little bit of a... I have panache. I have some...
Panache.
I have some...
It's funny. Knowing you and texting with you... You can definitely feel that you're kind of like you're like a dog who's in like a cage, and there's like a house party happening, like there's a, you know, family gathering, and the dog's at the cage, be like, I want to play, and you can't fucking play.
So I'm out. I got out last night.
You can't play because you bit grandma's ankle. Stop biting grandma's ankle.
I talked about grandma's fucking transmission. I didn't bite anybody. So, now that I'm out of jail, there's this weight lifted off me and this rush of confidence sent to me. And I've been sitting there quietly, not depressed because that's fucking lame, it's just the internet, but like, you feel less than. You feel less than what you used to be. The second I started getting unzucked, the juices...
I don't know. I've only been in the real jail. I don't go to a fake jail.
Congratulations. You enjoy sex. Ooh. I'm proud of you. But now that I'm out, Mike, the juices started to flow. And I said to myself, I said, hey, fat boy, it's been a while since you did a charitable event.
Oh.
And we're due, Mike. We're due.
And what? It was a golf tournament, right?
We've done other things, but nothing of any substance, nothing big.
But yeah, like nothing of that size.
Oh, no. We're going to do a big one. We're going to do a big one coming up, June.
Nothing where you crown yourself a champion of a thing.
I'm going to win this one. I'm going to win.
What do you have in store for us?
All right. Sunday, June 12th.
Ooh, got a date and everything.
Yeah. Some things are set in stone right this second. Other things are up in the air. I'm still working on it. I applied for a permit to rent out a park today. What's that remind you? Mike, little Wayne's World 2, maybe? I started the thing. I'm part of the location.
Alfie refused to go on stage unless I filled his shoes with brown M&Ms.
No, no. If you want that quote, I'll do it. I have
do it.
He needed 1,000 brown M&Ms, or else he wouldn't go on stage that night. So Keith Moon pops head around the corner, says there's a sweet shop at the edge of town. And there was. So we went. They don't have a guard dog. They got a bloody Bengal tiger. As for the shopkeeper and his son, that's a different story. This is the greatest movie of all time. But anyways, I'm in the
thank you.
I'm in the Danvers town clerk office today, handing in my form for a festival at a park, sitting there going, if fucking someone comes out with a glass eye, I'm fucked. Luckily, they had both eyes. They were all good. So we are doing
fantastic.
I'm trying to rent one of two places as of right now. Endicott Park in Danvers, great venue. Put a tent there, cornhole, of course, or Topfield Fair. I got an name.
The whole fucking fair?
I mean, a section. Listen, we're fucking animals. We belong at the fair. So, June 12th, Sunday, 3:00, we have the Beefy Boys food truck locked in.
Right.
Trying to get other food trucks, not beef food trucks, but other foods.
Well, really, you're going to a thing where there's going to be food trucks.
Yes. There will be other food trucks. There will be a, our sponsor, Chanamaka Brewing, kid, is bringing the taps. And according to
I've been trying to cover the label because fuck these guys. Their beer is not good.
According to they will at that time be providing a light beer and a seltzer for those who don't want triple IPAs.
Wow, look at them.
They are fucking. And there's going to be a big surprise that day in the beer industry. We're not announcing that right this second. But a fucking surprise.
So June 12th, huh?
June 12th. 3 to 6, food trucks, beer truck, a cornhole tournament. Which is
I'm gonna throw it out there. We might have to talk off air, but that seems far enough out that we might be able to do a live goddamn podcast from that.
Fucking A.
I got enough points. I can fly for free at this fucking point.
Then it's a cornhole tournament, but that's not the event. That's a side event.
What's the event?
The event's a fucking party.
What do you got? 38 special playing on the main stage?
We're gonna fuck. You think I'm not looking for a band right now? You think I'm already
with Alexa D'Amato on the fucking pole?
Triple IPAs, everybody.
Fuck you, dude.
We're gonna get some music. We're gonna have a party, cornhole, fun, fucking festivities. And what we're going to do is we're going to sell tickets. And you're going to get a fucking dumb free t-shirt. You're going to walk in the door. And everything that is profited from this event on my end, not the the beef food trucks already said they're going to give discounted beefs.
I'll give you a friends and family rate on my fee as well.
Sure, yeah. Of course, yeah. I'm going to try and get my boy Be A Man and Mr. Monday to show up. They'll be there. I mean, it's Tasso's brother who owns the food truck.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. So it's like...
Oh, that's a slam dunk.
Oh, the family. So, get the beer truck. I'm trying to get Cookie Monster ice cream truck to come. It's in the infancy right now. Lots of things are still to happen. And here's the thing about me, though. I had this idea the other day. I'm sitting on my couch watching basketball. Pops my head. It's been a while since I did a charity thing. So me and my wife start Googling local charities. And we haven't come up with one yet, but I found one. And if this charity's legit... They're getting all my money. Not my money, the money. I don't have any money. The money. This charity.
I believe it's the Scott Whitley Retirement Fund.
I wish. I would love
Please to. Get on television, you hack.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, go away.
I mean, it's what the NWO did. This is paid for by the Ric Flair Retirement Fund. Too so sweet.
Here's a charity, Mike. Listen to what these fucking saints do. They rescue dogs, you know, from the streets of Tennessee or wherever dogs come from. They train them to be PTSD helper dogs. And then give them to veterans with PTSD. Fucking slam dunk city right there.
Pretty fucking good.
The only
you know, who if anybody knew anything about that, talk to your friend Daniel Murr.
Oh, good call. Good call. It's
I mean, if anybody has anything to do with any kind of dog charities, it'd be her.
It's Paws for, Paws for fucking dog. I don't even know.
I'm guessing Paws for a Cause or some shit.
Something like that. But obviously, I want to give to
Fears for Fears, Paws for Paws.
Because everyone loves dogs. And if you don't love veterans, you're a complete piece of shit. Hate the war. Hate the politicians. Don't hate the guy who went to war. That's my
opinion. Two wars? Am I understanding we're in two wars?
So, here's the thing. You know what I did today, too, Mike? I'm a grown-up.
Oh, you're a fucking adult.
I applied on LegalZoom.com to start a 501c3 charity. Making my bullshit official, where I'm not just taking money and giving money. I'm the charity that I can divvy it up legally and give receipts.
Can you still Venmo me? Because I don't want to deal with taxes.
I owe you money right now, actually. We'll get that taken care of. You know what the charity's going to be called? The GFY Foundation.
I mean, it fucking high five, man. God damn it.
GFY Foundation. And I was asking you on the thing, what do you want to name it? I wasn't ready to name the name. I'm like, what do you mean name it? I'm like, Ferg Foundation? No, lame. Andy Ferg? No, lame. I'm like, what the fuck do I name this thing? Like, oh, fuck.
I'm halfway surprised you didn't call it the YSA Foundation.
No, that was on the list. And then I looked over, Mike, and I saw this on my desk.
There you go.
Maybe. And I said, send it.
Then full send.
GFY Foundation is going to be helping dogs, vets, maybe old prostitutes at some point. Strippers need help too, Mike. We're going to help everybody.
Steve's high school sweetheart needs some help.
I want to go. I have to give Nick Novak a fucking birthday shout out because he's begging for it.
Who the fuck is that?
Is the same Nick Novak from Jackass? Isn't that guy's name Nick Novak?
I don't know.
There's a Novak on Jackass.
There's Novak on Jovac? Jovac? Jackass?
On Knockass. Jovac
on Knockass. Okay, fantastic.
I didn't.
Happy birthday, Nick.
How about the new Jackass, Mike? A lot of peeing, huh? A lot of dick?
Lots of dick and balls.
Too much. One would say too much.
Almost too much, but not quite too much.
When the opening scene is Pontius's penis and balls being a monster puppeted.
I'm going to say one of the greatest movie reveals in cinema history.
I didn't know for a little while.
How was that not on the fucking opening of the Oscars?
So here's the uncomfortable thing for me with Jackass.
We took 72 minutes to celebrate Ivan Reitman, but we couldn't get Pontius's dick in the opening?
If he dies, his dick better be in the memoriam, not him.
It's better be the only thing in the memorial.
So my kid is a big Jackass fan, but she's just a girl at 15. So I have to censor it.
How does that work?
Watching Jackass?
No, how does a 15-year-old girl in 2022 become a Jackass fan?
Her father's the balls, lets her watch stuff. Comedy doesn't get censored in my house. Except for nudity. Nudity gets censored because we started watching it when she was 13. And I don't even.
So how did you get through this movie?
She hasn't yet.
Oh.
We've been getting through. So I fast forwarded through the opening scene. Done. Couple scenes in are good. And she knows when it's coming. She doesn't want to see fucking Steve-O's wang.
Nope. There's so much of it, too. His dick is everywhere.
I just. Hold on. Denny Snyder makes a good point. They didn't mention Bob Saget or Norm Macdonald in the Oscars.
No, they missed that. Them and Ed Asner.
Oh, fuck you, Academy. Norm's a fucking movie star. You seen Dirty Work?
Have you seen Dirty Work? Time to pay the fiddler, whores!
And then, Bob Saget, I mean, he wasn't in many movies, but he's in fucking Half-Baked with one of the greatest lines in movie history.
He directed Dirty Work.
You ever suck a dick for marijuana? Great line.
Here's the thing. Bob Saget is an American icon.
Yeah. No one's ever done that transition from
They were in Immorium fucking crew members.
But think about, like, to be...
It happens. Like, it fucking happens.
But to be dad on fucking, what's it, Eight is Enough or Full House? Yeah, Full House.
Eight is Enough.
And then become this fucking comedic icon. Also funny in movies, directing movies.
Also, America's Funniest Home Videos was a cultural icon.
I hated him on that, but sure.
I mean, it was what it was. We all watched it. We all, again, that was the Jackass of the 80s.
Every week, Sunday night, 7:30. Boom. 7, probably. Lock it in.
Let's watch a cat fall on a guy's lap.
And then Bob Saget to that fucking dumb, squeaky voice. Idiot. Anyways, I love him. Right. So now...
Here you go. Our poorly edited In Memoriam. Bob Saget, Norm Macdonald, Ed Asner. There you go.
Yeah, fucking... Some of the... Ed Asner's fucking hilarious.
Ed Asner's another icon.
Like, how did he get left out? I get Norman Bob if you're going to be an asshole. Ed fucking Asner? I'm going to look up his IMDb tonight and probably love 50 things on that thing. So to recap.
We're
having an event June 12th.
We were past that. We were on Jackass.
Okay, fuck it. We're still having an event June 12th. Go fuck yourself.
I can't wait. I'm actually, when we finish here and in 3 days when I sober back up, I'm going to look at plane tickets.
It's going to be the event of the summer until the golf tournament, which is better.
When's the golf tournament?
October.
You already have it booked in?
7th, yeah, October 7th. Okay. I texted the golf course in fucking February. I said,
hey, I like it.
I am.
I like the initiative. You know what? Here's the thing. I'm not used to it. I like working with someone who has a little bit of initiative and has a plan.
Here's the thing. I love making money for myself. I love selling these fucking dumb t-shirts. I
like making money too.
I like selling these fucking dumb t-shirts. But that's like an ego thing for me. I love raising money. And I don't know why. Because I'm a fucking piece of shit. But I love sending a check to the Flutie Foundation for fucking 10 grand, or to Christmas City for 12 grand, or to some woman who couldn't pay her rent for $4,000. I Venmo her the money. Here you go. Pay your rent. It makes me feel like a good person because I know I say shitty things and deserve to get slapped.
Right.
But I love it. When I built this stupid community, which I built, shut up, Brian. Why not? Beef and beer bash? You want a fucking beef and beer bash? Here it is. You fucking beef and beer bash. Shitty fucking t-shirts. $10 each. Who wants one? Anyways.
Those t-shirts are horrible. T-shirts for this event. Those are possibly your worst t-shirts ever.
They were supposed to be. I was trying to raise money for a charity. I said, do your worst. Clip art. Literally. I sent him
clip art. There's literally no beef in them.
I had fucking Foley Clover. So, but I do enjoy giving money to these things. Makes me happy. I feel good about myself. Not my money. I like giving your money. I'll work hard to give your money to somebody.
Sure.
So we're going to do it again. We're going to probably, I'm thinking, if we do the cornhole tournament, it's going to be a 50-50 deal where the winner gets half the money. The winner of the cornhole tournament gets half the money that was spent on the tournament. It's going to be ticket for like, you know, $20 to get in.
You might want to reel that one back because you might make it a little too much money. You might want to say like, hey, you get $500.
I'll give someone $1,000 if they win, but I'll give the charity the other $1,000.
I'm gonna brush up on my cornhole skills. I need some money.
I've already procured the best partner.
What,
my little friend Harambe.
Yeah.
Do you know what him and I do really well? Besides play cornhole, we're both softball pitchers, underhand softball pitchers with pinpoint accuracy. It's legit out of control. You're going to watch me and him dominate people. It's going to be embarrassing. Embarrassing.
These are two 40-something-year-old men bragging about being the best underhand softball pitcher ever.
I'm telling you, I pitched softball in a men's league for almost 20 years, and I'm not I was 17 when I started. I retired 5 years ago. I retired from
I pitch against men.
Yes, underhand. It went up and it went down. And it landed somewhere close to the plate every time. And my mouth never stopped. Mike is my protege. He's better at cornhole than I am, and I'm fucking good.
How's your candle pin game?
Bully? I'm nasty. If it's a sport that doesn't require cardio, I'm your man.
How did I know you were a good candle pin fucker?
Candle pin, I'm a big ball. I have fucking giant hands. There's nothing I can't do. Pool, great. Darts, great. Bring me to a bar and push play.
He's fucking good at darts, kid.
Bring me to a bar and push play. Let me know. Backyard games, bar games. I'll take your money and everything. I don't give a fuck.
Put $5 in the juke and give me the dots, kid.
We were down Patty Kelly, you know, down Key West.
Roll the skin.
Key West, probably 10 years ago, maybe a little more. My mom booked this elaborate trip for me and my wife and my brother and his wife. And awesome trip. We were staying at Zero Duval, which is the last hotel before you hit the ocean.
Ridiculous. Yep.
There's a pool hall down the road next to Fat Tuesdays. I'm fucking wrecked, hammered beyond belief, drinking fucking frozen drinks in the pool hall. The quarters are on the table. It's one of those tables where you stay if you win, you leave if you lose. You put your quarters up.
My boy even fucks with Pac-Man. He fucking quarters up.
So I'm quartered up. I take the table over, and I own that table for a good hour, hammered. And every win, the volume goes up, and the shit-talking goes up. Again, I deserve a slap in the new America. And a girl tried to fight me, had to be restrained, because she could not accept the fact that I wouldn't shut the fuck up and wasn't losing. And that's how I am playing cornhole. Don't get me on that fucking court.
I'm not going to lie. When a woman gets so offended that she wants to fight you, call me a fucking psychopath, but that's kind of a badge of honor.
Yes.
Like, especially when you're not even fucking trying. Like, I remember one night, and I'm assuming we're getting at that point, because I've finished my 4 fucking beers. I remember it was a Christmas party at my friend's house, and I was one of the last people standing, and it was back when I was smoking, and I was out on the porch having a cigarette, and there's this girl sitting there, and I made a comment or two, and fast forward to her getting upset about my comments, and I just kind of leaned back, looked her up and down, and said, "Well, you got dressed tonight." The rage. The clawing rage when I said, "You knew how you dressed tonight." Am I slut shaming? I don't know. Am I telling a 15-year-old story? I don't know. But, like, yeah, it was kind of, I sat there laughing as her friends are holding her and she's clawing at me. And I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck? Like, you did this. It's winter in Boston. I'm wearing a parka. You got your tits hanging out. Like, what the fuck was I supposed to do? At 3 o'clock in the morning after 87 fucking Zambuca shots, am I not supposed to say, "Hey, nice fucking rack"?
I was at a party once, Mike. A cookout, if you will. I had a newborn child.
If you will.
My daughter was 3 months old, so that's probably August of 2007. That's how far back this goes. My wife and I used to have this conversation prior to parties. When we were driving, someone had a baby. Who's drinking today? That's a conversation parents should have. And it was my turn. I didn't last time. So I'm getting after it. We're in Methuen at a party, outdoor event, having a blast. We have a 3-month-old. She's napping. We're in the middle of a heated fucking Beirut game, or if you call it Pong, whatever you want to call it, heated. Her and I are partners. We were deadly back in the day. My daughter wakes up. Got to pick her up. Not quitting the game. My wife scoops her up. She's got a kid in an arm. She's not drinking. I'm drinking for her. I'm taking the shots. And she's throwing the ball. And some woman decides at that moment to judge Mrs. Ferg and say, nice parenting. She doesn't say anything because I do first. So no one asks you, you dumb cunt. Now, apparently, this woman was a friend of mine's girlfriend. And she took it real poorly, much like Jada Pinkett Smith. We're going to tie it all together right now, Mike. My friend was much like Chris Rock, and I'm Will Smith in this scenario. Do the math. I'm tall. He's not. He looks at her. She's like, you let him talk to me like that? He just goes, it's Ferg. That's all he needed to say. And she stormed off, pissed off, and the fight was over. And it was, I called her a cat, and her boyfriend didn't defend her. They're not married right now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And my cornhole partner has just joined us. My pal Michael is here. We're going to dominate the cornhole tournament, Michael. I've let everybody know. Stop practicing. We're tossing bags.
I hear you're an excellent underhand softball tournament for men.
I'm a better softball pitcher. He's better at cornhole, though.
I hear you're good at throwing balls at men.
Sacks and balls full of seeds. It's all about the wrist. You got to have release.
You got to have that.
It's muscle memory.
You got to work it like Lamar's limp wrist style.
No, it's release. It's muscle memory release. Get your footing.
Right. I mean, who doesn't love a good release?
Mike, cunt of the week, go.
I try to live my life every day. Keep out of strife. Come what may, I try to do unto others as I'd have them do to me. But it can't be done for everyone, and now it's plain to see. You are a cunt.
Can we go with anybody outside of Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith? The Smith family just kind of...
I have a whole different one.
Oh, well, fantastic. I'm going with them. Not only are they the cunts of the week, but they're also the heroes of the week because they gave us something to talk about. They made the Oscars relevant again. Congratulations on your Best Actor award, you cunt.
And your wife is one, too. I'm going totally off the rails. I'm going cunt redemption. Ooh. I'm not naming a cunt of the week. I'm taking one back. A few episodes ago, Mike, I named Brian Scalabrine my cunt of the week. Former Celtic, the White Mamba. I loved him when he played. He has come out with a drink that I thought was absurd and silly, and I thought he was trying to kill people. It was 18% alcohol by volume.
Was it Swamp Ape? Because this shit sucked.
Oh, that's now my nickname, the Swamp Ape. It was an 18%, in my opinion, seltzer.
Yeah.
Who drinks seltzers besides sad white men and fat people? Women, basic white women do. So giving these psychos an 18% alcohol and then probably a bump of Coke, we're going to have people dead everywhere. So I thought it was cunt of the week. I was ready to name him that.
You did name him that.
I did. I found his drink at my local Packy on the shelf by itself. Scal's ready to drink cocktail. Wait, that's not a seltzer. Whole different ballgame. I treated it like a seltzer, and I shotgunned it because that's what men do. And it came in hot and it felt nice. And here I am thinking, he's not such a cunt. This drink ain't so bad. I mean, I'm not going to choose to buy them more. It's pretty good. I'll chug those things. But then I posted my shotgun, and Brian Scalabrine liked my post. I'm rescinding cunt of the week for Scal.
All right. So what is it?
It's a vodka and lemonade drink.
Oh.
Just a pre-made cocktail, pour it over rice and sip it. Instead of doing your own thing with vodka and lemonade,
so here's a can of vodka with a splash of lemonade.
Yeah, but so vodka is 80 proof. 40% alcohol by volume. So this is 22% lemonade, if my math serves me right. It's mostly lemonade. So it's pretty solid.
Still 18%.
I mean, Mike, I'm not going to lie. I shotgunned it in 3 seconds flat, maybe two, and I felt some type of way afterwards.
Okay. Okay.
It is like a pregame cocktail for the ages. Shotgun it.
So, cunt of the week, redemption.
If you remember back in the day, you'd get a 40 of Heffenreffer or private stock.
A what?
A 40 of private stock.
Okay.
You don't know what that is?
No. You said Heffenreffer.
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 What? Yes. You fucking Linfield slobs are fucking drinking Pinot Grigio. But I'm out there in Peabody, the slums, drinking Heffenreffer, trying to solve the fucking riddles. That's what men do.
Yeah, we didn't drink that trash.
You really didn't? So they sold it in 40s in six packs. And the six packs were 16 ounces each. Head wreckers, also known as head wreckers. And they'd have a riddle on the bottle cap. And they weren't hard until you drank six of them. Then you couldn't figure out the sixth riddle. It's like fucking Wordle back in the day.
Six fucking 40s? Yeah, that was hard.
Six 16 ounces or 140. They were like $2.40 for a 40 of Heffenreffer, or private stock, if you will. And you pregame with one of those, and the fucking party has started. Let's go. All you need is fucking OD of Heffenreffer. You know what Edward 40 hands? Thank you, Mr. Delano. Edward 40 hands?
Oh, that I know.
With Heffenreffer, you're going to die. You're literally not going to live through this.
You're going to die.
Fucking turpentine, taped to each hand. Don't piss your pants. Good luck.
Does that do it?
Yeah,
fucking, all right.
Yes, that's right. The Caps had riddles. It was fucking great. Head wreckers.
Right. I clearly missed out. I missed out. I feel bad. Here's the thing. I'm going to take 2 minutes. I'm going to go to the box. I'm going to feel shame.
You should feel shame. Not knowing what Heffenreffer is fucking bizarre to me. Where the hell did you grew up one town over from me? What street did you grow up on?
Huckleberry.
Huckleberry. I'll be Huckleberry. Is that near Apple Hill in that fucking cuck area?
No, it's not.
South Biddy, Lynn Street. Lynn Street, 7-Eleven. Hard as fucking
nails. Lynn Street, 7-Eleven, kid.
Nails. I lived across from a 24-hour convenience store. I could smell the fucking shit rolling on the fucking thing.
Cool. Cheers, buddy. I went to sleep not smelling septic fuel and shit. So I don't know. Maybe you win in the tough man contest in that category. I didn't smell garbage when I went to bed.
Refer right now. You would throw up so fast it was disgusting.
Probably.
But it got you there where you needed to be. And you could go fail sex with girls.
Oh, shit. Thanks to Patty Kelly for sponsoring this garbage pill of a fucking hour and change. 154 Washington Street in Peabody. At Patty Kelly's on Instagram. Monday, Wednesday's karaoke. Brunch on Friday through Sunday, noon to 3, open every day till 1 in the morning. Gary Girolamo Group of Cross Country Mortgage at Buy and Refi. See, I can read it. I say refry when my brain's working.
Guys, hungry. Quick pause.
Fucking hungry, kid.
Quick pause.
Buy and Refi on Instagram, crosscountrymortgage.com. I'm going to power through and talk right over you.
Pause.
Chilwaka Brewing Kit at 95 Rand Tool Street in Beverly at Channel Marker Brewing on Instagram. Channelmarkerbrewing.com, where you can find their hours, which are Wednesday through Friday, 3 to 10. Saturdays, noon to 10. Sundays, noon to 6. Ben Franklin Print Company, 177 North Main in Middleton at Ben Franklin_PrintCo on Instagram. Ben Franklin Print. Co.com online. Mention F Buddies, get 10% off. What were you saying? I'm sorry. I was doing our job, for fuck's sake.
Our sponsor, the Gary Girolamo Group. Before I announced the date of the event, what the event was coming up, already hit me up.
Slam dunk.
Looking to sponsor.
Slam dunk.
They're fucking, they're good.
Pet. You don't kind of drag them out of a bar to get the money out.
I didn't have to hit anybody. It's fine. Patty Kelly's also owns Sidelines. They hit me up.
People. Perfect.
It's the giving season.
We're kind of a thing that people want to get involved with.
Yeah, I was getting hit up by other breweries. Like, I felt hot, like the girl at the bar with the tits. And I had my boyfriend, Shannon Marker. Like, no, Andy, you're ours. They were pissing on me.
So other breweries want to give you money?
No, they wanted me to do the event at their brewery. But I
I see what you're saying.
Channel Marker, they're my guy. Let's figure it out.
I got you.
They got something coming that's involving me.
Well, skeet, skeet, skeet. I guess we'll see you next Tuesday, cunts.
See you next Tuesday. Hey, Michael, go fuck yourself.